Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz, coming to you here inside our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, to this point, two training camp practices in the books, a couple of two-hour workouts at Ray Nitschke Field. Anything, anybody that jumped out at you right away?
I think Trevor Davis is the one that immediately kind of jumped out. When you don't have pads on, the first two practices only in shells, you don't really always know what to make out of what's happening, but you always can see the receivers and defensive backs in a pretty good light. Even Demaryius Randall, when I was talking to him, mentioning how it's really not that different of a game when you put the pads on.
Sure.
And I thought Trevor Davis, for the small sampling we got to see him, particularly on the first day of camp, really showed himself pretty well. And it's a tight competition there. A lot of bodies. It seems like they have some good undrafted free agents that are pushing them too. But he made an amazing catch from Aaron Rodgers. One-handed grab right along the sidelines. We'll talk about that a little bit in a little bit. But overall, just what he brings to the table, I thought his skill set really shined.
Yeah, the wide receiver competition that we talked about on our last show really, you know, got off to a fast start. We saw Jared Aberderis making some plays. Devontae Adams has made a couple of plays in the early going. Trevor Davis is the one who stood out the most here, and we'll see how that evolves. I'm curious to see if he gets more reps perhaps with Aaron Rodgers as these first couple of weeks of training camp move along.
And it's going back to what I was just talking about a little bit. He mentioned it, as beautiful as this catch was, right alongside the sideline, did everything you look for, brought it in and got it to his body. It still was not perfect. As nice as it was, as big of a cheer that it gained from the crowd, Aaron Rodgers talked with him afterwards saying, well, one, he didn't finish it. He said he fell into the college mentality, went out of bounds. You got to finish everything in Packers camp. But two, he also explained to him a few things of, hey, if you did these certain steps, you probably wouldn't have had to make that catch for that play to be made. You could have made it a little bit easier on yourself. And really, as he mentioned, those are the details you really got to get honed at this time of the season.
Yeah. And switching to the other side of the ball, you mentioned Demaryius Randall. He and cornerback Quentin Rollins, the first two draft picks from last year, we've talked about them a lot already. These first two practices, we've seen them alternating almost snap by snap, maybe not exactly that, but between lining up outside on the boundary as a cornerback and then in the slot, it seems that Joe Witt and Dom Capers are really working on getting those young quarterbacks as versatile as possible for all the different packages, all the different alignments that could come up. And boy, for a guy like Randall, who just transitioned from safety coming out of college to play cornerback as a rookie, he's taking to that slot corner position, and he looks like he's been there a long time.
Yeah, cornerbacks coach Joe Witt was talking about last season Randall wanted to play it. The certain things that had to happen with the defense, it didn't really allow for that. But now this offseason, they've tried everything. You know, Gunter's learned that position after only playing outside as a rookie. Quentin Rollins did both, even though back at Miami of Ohio, he strictly was a boundary corner. So they're trying a bunch of different mix and matching of those cornerbacks. And as Randall, I asked Randall a little bit about this and the thinking behind it. It really is an opportunity to create plays. We talk so often about the pass rush being a staple of Dom Capers' defenses. Well, the nickel star role, cornerback spot, is really another area where guys can really make plays, and I think Randall and Rollins both understand how valuable it can be and why you need to have multiple options there.
Yeah, when we talk about Dom Capers' defense with the pass rush, he's famous for that cross dog blitz, the two linebackers crossing in the middle. The other one that you see a lot is the slot corner blitz.
Yeah.
You know, the safety rolls over to take that guy, and then at the snap, that slot corner takes off for the quarterback to try to surprise him. Obviously, it doesn't always work, but, blitzes are like that. But the more guys who practice that role and can play that role, it's going to potentially keep quarterbacks and offensive coordinators guessing as to just who's going to be doing what when the bullets are real in the fall.
Absolutely, and Witt talked about during the offseason program the fact that he wasn't overly pleased with how his cornerbacks tackled last season, but didn't really have much of an issue with Randall and Rollins. He thought both of them really stepped in and played well in that capacity, and it does fit into what you're talking about on those corner blitzes, being able to not only pressure the quarterback, but finish those plays. I think Rollins showed that he can do that. I think Randall, you're seeing those star kind of attributes in him as well, and seeing where all those pieces fit going into the regular season, I think, is one of the most exciting things about this defense in 2016.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, after the break, We'll talk a little bit about some of the players who are not on the practice field just yet. We'll be back with that on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, six players who did not start practicing at the beginning of training camp placed on the physically unable to perform list, also known as the PUP list. Jordy Nelson, Ty Montgomery, Jared Cook, Corey Linsley, TJ Lang, and linebacker Sam Barrington. Now, Jordy Nelson told us that his ACL is fine. Nobody freak out, he says. But he had a hiccup, as he called it, with his other knee. So we don't know when Nelson will be back on the field, but he says his plans for being ready for week one in Jacksonville have not been derailed at all. So what's your take on Nelson's situation?
Yeah, and that was corroborated, too, by Mike McCarthy, saying that with all six of the guys, he thinks he'll get them back, you know, at some point in training camp. He doesn't have concern right now that they won't be ready for the start of the regular season. But, you know, I imagine for Jordy Nelson, this is somewhat disappointing for him because we talk so often, you know, he wanted to push it faster, you know, going back to the offseason program. You know how badly he wants to get back on the field. I know how much he probably is tired of hearing these questions and taking these questions.
Right.
He's handling himself well, but it obviously can get trying and wear on you when you've been dealing with this long now. But the thing I look at right now for him is, it really is, he kept talking all summer about it's about September. And that's really what it comes down to. As much as this helps, as much as you want to get the snaps and the reps with Aaron Rodgers, he has 7 years of reps now with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Rodgers said it might take a couple of days to get, you know, kind of back on the same page with Jordy, and it's hard to disagree with that.
Yeah, and there's 1,000, I think it was McCarthy I was talking about, they have basically 1,000 snaps together that they've taken in actual, you know, games. So it really comes down to, yes, you want to be out there right now, you want to stop answering the questions, you want to put the pedal back to the metal. But it's also about being cognizant that he was dealing with a pretty significant injury, working his way back, and wanting to get back to the level that he was playing at before. And right now the Packers feel the best way for him to accomplish that is sitting out and dealing with this knee injury that he has on the opposite side.
Yeah. Montgomery also still dealing with the leg injury from last year that cut his rookie season short. And then Jared Cook, the new pass catcher, the free agent tight end, whom we saw just for the first couple of weeks of OTAs before he went to have surgery on his foot. And Cook's absence really has created a lot more first-team reps than maybe we thought we might see early on for Richard Rodgers.
Yeah.
And you did a story the other day on Rodgers, the tight end that is, and how he dropped some weight, he looks like he's in better shape, and he even told you he feels like he's in better shape for the full long haul, the 16-game season coming up.
Yeah, and basically, you know, he went down, dropped about 15 pounds from where he was at last season. He's back more towards that 257 mark that he was at the NFL scouting combine when he was a third-round pick 2 years ago. And as he said, I mean, he put in a lot of work this offseason. I know Davante Adams even talked about that too in their workouts together. Hot gymnasiums at the University of California, Berkeley. He's wearing sweatshirts. He's doing everything he can to lower his weight. And he feels like right now it's helping him be a little bit more burst, a little quicker in and out of his routes. And as he said, too, it's about being able to play every single down and run your fastest where you're not taking a playoff. He feels like the adjustments that they made will allow him to do this. And whenever Jared Cook's back on the field, too, that's another guy that's going to be able to take some snaps off him and keep him fresh throughout the course of a season.
Yeah, and Richard Rodgers, with some experience in terms of dropping weight, he did the same thing at Cal, played as a much lighter kind of a slot wide receiver towards the end of his college career there before he bulked up a little bit to play full-time tight end in the NFL. So this is not necessarily new territory for him. New territory, though, in some ways at inside linebacker for the Packers. With Sam Barrington sidelined, Jake Ryan and Blake Martinez are the two guys right now with the number one defense, the base and the nickel. And we talked about them in the offseason, how Jake Ryan really is showing a lot of promise to make that big jump in year two. And again, just like we saw in OTAs and minicamp, Blake Martinez looks like he belongs out there on an NFL field.
He really does. And now we're going to be start moving into those padded practices, getting a chance to see what he can do when the contact is a little bit more heavy hitting. He looks, based on everything we've seen, as a guy who can step up, though, and really stay stout when playing in that capacity. Him and Jake Ryan both getting a lot of playing time so far, handling a bulk of those first team reps. And something that's interesting too, I think several times when you and I have been in the locker room this week, you go in there and Martinez is sprawled out, you know, on his stomach inside the film from the previous practice, already digesting that, taking his notes.
Yeah, he's got his eyes on that screen right away.
Yeah, so I mean, being able to get in there, take the notes that he's, you know, has become so known that he does. Those are things I think now it'll be fun to see those translate now into these padded practices and now into some preseason games down the line.
Yeah, and as meticulous a player, as you say, a note taker and whatnot that he is, it, almost like he's made to play in a Dom Capers defense.
Yeah.
Dom Capers is the same kind of meticulous, detailed, note-taking kind of guy.
Yeah, and you can't really discount the value of these reps either, because when Barrington is back, you would presume that he'll be taking some of those first-team snaps away from somebody. I don't know where they'll come from or how they'll handle
it. Sure.
But that's another body that they're going to have, you know, another mouth to feed, so to speak. And when you can get these snaps right now for him to go out there and capitalize on them, I think they're really paramount for a rookie looking to make an impact right away.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, after the break, we'll move on to some more observations from the first few days of training camp. We'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, let's call this the segment of loud voices. We hear a lot of voices during training camp practice, particularly from the fans. The Ray Nitschke Field crowd is always pretty boisterous, but one voice you can't help but miss when he speaks up is Mike Daniels on the defensive line, and we saw him in the opening training camp practice show just how serious he is, as he always is, but he really got on first-round draft pick Kenny Clark for a mistake in an 11-on-11 snap in a team period. And, you know, Kenny Clark took it, and he even said, hey, bring it on. That's great. I want to be coached. I want to learn from these guys. I want to learn from the veterans. But it's a sign of just the sense of urgency that there is for a guy like Kenny Clark to be ready to go in week one because of the situation at that position.
Yeah, and that's the biggest key right now with him, and both him and Dean Lowry, the fourth-round pick out of Northwestern. Those guys have to be ready to play because the Packers are in a very unique position right now, almost a changing of the guard, if you will, with their defensive line. Now, they did re-sign Latroy Guyon. You extended Mike Daniels. But beyond that, a lot of uncertainty and a lot of question marks, especially knowing that they won't have Mike Pinnell for the first four games. So for Kenny Clark, this is an important time. He didn't get all the reps during the offseason program because of that quarter system. He had to stay back.
Right.
But now that he's here, Mike Daniels realizes that there's really not much time to be able to gloss over the details. You have to be on your point. You have to be on your mark. And as we heard in so many different words, that's something that he was telling him. So.
Yeah. And Daniels even said, with a guy like Clark, he didn't have to do that. He knows that Kenny Clark is ready to go and is putting forth the effort that needs to be put forth. But Mike Daniels, he considers himself a tone setter on the defense. He's going to set the agenda. He's going to get the pace to where he feels it needs to be with those guys up front, with his unit on the defensive line. And you talk about a guy who's really absorbed and grown in a leadership role over the last couple of years, he's a perfect example.
I don't think there's any better example, because he wasn't a guy that came in as a first-round pick and high expectations. I think he's mentioned this before. He came in, no one really talked to him. He was the fourth-round pick with the torn labrum that was just sort of in the background at the start of things. And slowly but surely, you know, he's a guy that, you know, his rookie season started to make some plays. Second year really started to step up. Now you look around, B.J. Raji's, you know, not here. You know, Johnny Jolly, Brian Pickett. It's a different defensive line room now. In him, in the structure of this team, he has to be a leader. I think he stepped up to that. And he told the guys in the meeting room, too, it isn't just me. Anybody can do this. You just got to have the want, and in some way, you also have to have the voice capacity, too.
Yeah, for sure. Well, another loud voice that we hear on the offensive side of the ball is Brett Hundley, backup quarterback, with his snap count, his cadence, he's learning that hard count from Aaron Rodgers. You can tell he's really picked up on how Rodgers draws defenses offsides. The players in camp are having a hard time staying onside when Hundley goes to that hard count. He's even making his offensive linemen jump a little too early here and there, which is not a good thing. But, boy, you talk about just within this first year and a half that he's been with Aaron Rodgers already picking up, I guess, what I would call one of the finer points of playing quarterback.
Yeah, because it's really it's a double-edged sword and more of just something that either way it's a plus because, one, it's keeping a defense honest in that they know you can't get the jump there to put the pressure on and, you know, allow them to pin their ears back. But, two, it does leave you that a possibility of a free play and being able to create something big out of it and something that Aaron Rodgers has done so well throughout the course of his career, but particularly these last few seasons. So for Hundley to start to learn that, and I know there's a couple times where I'm taking notes down, not quite looking at the play, and you'll hear him bark. And for a guy that's as mild-mannered and well-spoken but not really boisterous like Hundley, it's kind of you jars you a little bit like, oh, wow, you know, like he – I would have went, you know, I mean, and it has happened a couple times already in camp where he's been able to draw defense offside and in a normal game setting would have been able to turn that into a free play, potentially.
Yeah, and it speaks to the comments that quarterbacks coach Alex Van Pelt made in the offseason about how Hundley in his second year really is becoming more of a take charge guy.
Right.
He's a take charge guy in the huddle. These guys, whether it's the first string, the second string, the third string, whoever it is, they believe in him in the huddle, and he's really convincing that he's running the show and it is his show to run when it's his rep. Just an impressive start. Now, only a couple of days into training camp, so we'll see where it goes from here. But Brett Hundley certainly looks ready to take on that slate of five preseason games.
It's especially something you do want to see, though, because you don't have Scott Tolzien there this year. Brett Hundley needs to be the number two guy, and he needs to be a veteran voice, even though he has one NFL season under his belt. And to be able to see that, yes, it doesn't have any bearing on what's going to happen 3 weeks from now, but it is a positive first step for him.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll throw it to a break, and after this, we'll be back to talk a little bit about a former Green Bay Packer. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, before we go today, let's touch on a former Green Bay Packer who announced his retirement earlier this week, wide receiver, Greg Jennings, a second-round draft pick in 2006. I was asked after Jennings' announcement in our Insider Inbox column, the daily mailbag column that we do on Packers.com, if Greg Jennings is a Packers Hall of Famer. I think he is. I would no doubt put him in the Packers Hall of Fame when that time comes. What do you think?
Well, I agree with you, and historically I would say it's a no-brainer. I do understand why there's a little bit more question marks about this now, because as we saw this year with Chad Clifton and Nick Collins going into the Hall of Fame, these recent teams, the amount of success that the Packers have had over the seven-year stretch in which they made the postseason, there are a lot of really good football players on those teams.
Yeah, there are.
And Greg Jennings certainly fits into it, and I agree. Definitely, you know, when you look if just at his 2010 season, you were saying it during our pre-production meeting.
Yeah.
You know, 1,200 yards, 76 catches, 12 touchdowns, how he played in the Super Bowl. He was basically the receiver, almost twice that of anybody else on the roster at that point. Meant a lot to the team then. Randall Cobb, I know they have that relationship almost like a big brother, little brother kind of deal.
For sure.
His effect is still felt on that receiving core, I think, to this day.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And when you look at Jennings' career, five seasons of 50-plus catches, three seasons of 1,000 yards or more, he ranks in the top five in franchise history in both 100-yard receiving games and in touchdown receptions. And as we talked about, that 2010 season is the clincher for me. The 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns when nobody else on the team had more than 600 or 700 yards and five or six touchdowns. And then he had 21 postseason receptions in that Super Bowl run, two touchdown catches in the Super Bowl, took that wicked hit from Troy Polamalu at the goal line on that that first quarter touchdown right. pass from Aaron Rodgers. Just a dynamite performance in Super Bowl 45 that really goes down in history as a pretty special one.
Yeah, I agree. And something that stands out to me, too, and Mike McCarthy was asked a little bit about him earlier this week in where he fits in, what he's done with this organization. He said, you know, he's a guy that had a smile that could light up a room. And from a professional standpoint, though, it always impressed me that he stepped into this door in 2006, a wide receiver out of Western Michigan, which is not, no disrespect, a lot of good football players that came out of there, but they're yeah. not Alabama.
Right.
But he stepped into the NFL and looked like he belonged. I mean, a lot
away.
Of people
right
say
away.
It's that Greg Jennings metric, you know, of a yep. guy coming in and looking like he could make a factor right away. He didn't have, like, an all-star, you know, Pro Bowl for a season, but the second season he was right there, 12 touchdowns, 900 receiving yards, and he was off and running.
Yeah, I remember that 2007 season was when he really started to emerge. He caught a slant pass from Brett Favre for a touchdown to beat San Diego here at Lambeau Field. I believe it was week 3. Big fourth quarter touchdown that gave the Packers a big victory. And then the following week in Minnesota, he caught the record-breaking touchdown pass when Brett Favre broke Dan Marino's record for career touchdown passes, got the old fireman's carry and
yeah,
you know,
right.
the whole thing going on there. But any other individual plays that stand out to you when you look back at Jennings' career?
Not one, but this is the thing that does stand out to me. When you look at his career bio, season by season, season long, 83 yards touchdown, 86 touchdown, 79 touchdown, 75, 82. What a game changer in how he was able to really tilt the field and make something happen, you know, from the 20-yard line, 10, 15. Every single time he touched the ball, it was a chance for a big play. And the fact that he had that many career receptions of over 60, 70 yards, I think really spoke to how dynamic he was as a playmaker.
Yeah, and I think of all the plays, the one I might remember more than any other was the big third down conversion in Super Bowl 45, right. the laser beam over the middle from Rodgers. Just a great throw and a great catch. So with that, we'll call that a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of training camp and the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford. You can look up at Packers for the team account. Thanks for watching, everybody, and we'll see you next time.